Ephesians chapter 5, we've been studying through the book of Ephesians, and we've gotten into lots of practical stuff here. And of course, the book of Ephesians written to the believers in the city of Ephesus, Paul writing this book, and comes to chapter 5, and a lot of heavy stuff, a lot of very practical, pragmatic teaching here in chapter number 5. Throughout the book of Ephesians, you find a theme. Especially starting in chapter 4, going into chapter 5, Paul uses this idea of walking. Walking. Paul challenges the Ephesian church concerning her walk before the Lord. In chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, he says to the church in Ephesus, he says, you know what? You ought to walk worthy of the vocation with where you are called. In what way? With all lowliness and meekness. We are to walk in humility. We ought to live lives humble. I talked about that this morning. We should allow brotherly love to continue. I remember as a kid, my dad, we had a kitchen sink and a window in the middle of it. And we had a problem. Us, me and my brother, my sister, we'd fight like cats and dogs. And he put a scripture up there, only by pride cometh contention. He said, the reason y'all are fighting is because you're too proud. If someone would just humble themselves, all the fight would go out of it. Boy, kids, remember that. Listen to Pastor. If you're fighting, there's a pride thing going on. You're thinking you're better than someone else. You need to humble yourself.
That's right.
And boy, I tell you, the Bible commands Paul here writing to the Ephesians to walk in humility. Number two, in verses 4 through 13, he commands them to walk in unity. You know, as a church, we ought to be unified around serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be unified in love. Chapter 4, verses 17 through 32, we ought to walk in separation. Christians ought to be different than the world. The challenge today is that you can't find any difference. I saw a little meme or picture on Facebook the other day, and they had a one side was a picture of the nightclub, the other side was a picture of the modern day church. And that is the truth. It isn't a whole lot different. All the lights and the rock and roll, and you're just going to be entertained. But as Christians, we are commanded to be different. We are commanded to be separated from this world and separated unto God. Next, we see in chapter 4, as well as chapter 5, that we are to walk in love. We talked about love this morning. I tell you, folks that love one another.
Amen.
And love even the unlovable. Well, that's a sad case when you go to churches. We've all been there, right? Where, boy, everybody's at loggerheads with one another, and they're fighting and bickering and arguing. You know, I remember my dad telling me, we attended a small little Baptist church growing up, Southern Baptist Church, and he said they sat there and they argued over the color of the toilet paper. He said,
yes.
You know, there was no love there.
Yes.
How silly, how foolish. And what a bad testimony of what the Lord has done. Lastly, we see that we're to walk in light. In chapter 5, verses 3 through 14, we looked at that last week, the importance of walking in light, walking according to God's will, walking, not in darkness, walking in light.
Amen.
Being light, right? We sing that little kid song, this is the light of mine. You guys know that song, don't you, Cadence? I'm going to let it shine. You know, it's not just a silly song. It really is a message, Emma. We ought to let our light shine, the Bible says before men, that they may see your good works and glorify you. Oh, you're such a good person.
No,
glorify God.
Amen.
And that's how we ought to point to. You know, when something good goes on and you're able to be a blessing or a help to someone, may the words that come out of your mouth be this. Praise God.
Amen.
It was God. Not me.
Amen.
It was God. And you know, I'll say it to your workers. I think we were talking about that. It was God.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Well, sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves.
Yes.
Every good gift comes from above.
Amen. That's right.
Logan, you do good on a school assignment. God gave you the ability.
That's right.
The brain you have, the air you breathe, is a gift from God. Isn't that a blessing? You realize that? Sometimes I'll go out, we'll go to the college, and we'll go talking to folks on the street about the Lord. And, you know, they'll sit there and they'll curse God. They'll take God's name and they'll use it like a dirty four-letter curse word.
Yes.
I said, you're going to curse the very one that gave you life and that is allowing you to live this very moment.
Right.
Shame on you. Right? People need to understand. What a blessing. And our good works should point people to God, point people to Christ not to ourselves. We come now to chapter 5, and I'm going to ask you, if you would, just very quickly stand with me as we read God's Word together. Out of respect for the Word of God, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. And I'm going to ask you, if you're able, would you read aloud with me? I like to hear the church read together. It's a blessing to hear us all read in unison. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through verse number 17. If you're there, let's read together aloud. Ready? See then as you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege to study your word tonight. And Lord, we were here this morning, and what a blessing it was. I'm so encouraged by the Spirit and Lord, those that you brought here. And I'm so thankful to come back tonight to begin our day and to end our day with you. Lord, I pray that that fact would not be lost on us this evening. Thank you for Jesus and all that He has done and all that He means. And Lord, may we not just be Christians in name only, folks that just proclaim the name of Christ. But Father, may our lives be reflective of the change that He has wrought in us. That we would be different. That we would, Lord, live lives that glorify You. And I ask for Your help, Lord. I'm a man. I cannot preach without Your help tonight, without Your power. And Lord, the message that You have for us is a message for all of us, including myself. And so I pray that my heart, as well as the hearts of those here gathered, would be open to receive whatever lesson, whatever teaching, whatever encouragement, edification we need tonight. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. We're told, challenged to walk here in wisdom. We're to add to the virtues that we've just gone over, humility, unity, separation, love, and light, the quality of wisdom. The word wisdom means this. It is the knowledge of what is true or right, coupled with judgment as to action. So what does that mean? It means I know what is true and what is right, and I know how to use it. A lot of people have a lot of knowledge, but they're really dumb. They lack common sense. They lack the ability to apply that knowledge, to apply that understanding, and make the right choices. In Scripture, it's the idea of this, that I understand the will of God as it's revealed in His Word, and I desire to live it. See, I'll tell you now, tonight, you're here, you know, some of you may not know, this is our rule. Not me. I'll preach you the Word. But I tell you this, the moment I get off teaching you my own thoughts and my own opinions, you ought to run out of here, hightail it out of here, and say, I need to find a church that teaches us the Bible. So that's what we need. You don't need my opinion. Sometimes I'll tell you what my opinion is, but I'll very clearly tell you, this is my opinion. Right? We need God's Word, and we need to know the will of God. You say, how do I know the will of God? It's revealed to us in the Word of God. You can know the mind of God. He has blessed us with that ability to understand. So here we have a call, what? To yield to the Word of God in our daily walk. Now listen to me. I'm so glad. You young people, have you been having your devotions? Taking your devotional books and reading them? I hope you have. It'll help you. You say, well, how will that help me, Pastor? It'll help you to know the Bible. You realize that all the great men that were founders of our country, you know, many of them, if not all of them, in some way read and understood the Bible? Do you realize that our nation, as she grew and matured and grew into the great nation that she is, and may she continue, that this book was used in our schools? This book was taught, was memorized, that every morning they recited the Ten Commandments, that they prayed the Lord's Prayer. And you know, nowadays we wonder, we say, well, we're so enlightened, we're so inclusive. We don't want to offend nobody. And we've totally lost our identity. And boy, I tell you, if you want to open your eyes, take you a trip over to the jail. Visit with some of those guys. How sad it is. Well, what a blessing it is that we can have the Word of God. May we stand upon it. What a blessing that we can know the will of God. And I want to give you three things tonight very quickly about this kind of walk. Number one, it is a diligent walk. Look at verse 15.
Verse number 15, he says what? See then that you walk circumspectly. So the word see means what? What does it mean to see? Let me ask you, Andrew, what does it mean to see? Yeah, but think of another word. Let's define it. If I say I see this or I see you, what am I saying? Brother Robert? Okay. It's something I observe, right? I'm looking. I have visual identification. I observe, and the Bible says, see, observe, that you what? Walk circumspectly. Now that's a word we don't use very often, but let me explain it. The word circumspectly means this. It means to be diligent, accurate, and precise. Diligent, accurate, and precise. Aren't there some things you got to be pretty precise about? We've been getting back on track with our finances personally. Getting back to a budget. We've gotten a little lazy in our finances. And I've gotten to this place where I want to be exact. So I said, okay, our cell phone bill, so work pays for my cell phone, so I just got to pay for my wife's. It's $50 a month. And so I put that in the budget, and I said, no, it's not $50. It is $47.97. That is being exact. That is being precise, right? You ever been with someone? You know, and maybe you're this way. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. You know, you go to the store, you hand it, say something's $9.87. You give them a $10 bill. Some folks, they really like to make sure they get that precise change, don't they? You want to make sure you got a dime and 3 pennies. They got 13 cents for that. Not a bad thing. It's good to be diligent. It's good to be precise. The command is this, that we give attention, that we observe how we walk in this world, that we walk accurately and precisely. I can't remember his name. He's a tightrope walker. He walked, is it Walinda? Anyway, he walked over Niagara Falls just, I don't know, about a year ago. Did anybody see that? I don't know about you. I would not be a good tightrope walker. First of all, because I'm a little lopsided, a little heavy on the top end and a little lighter on the bottom end. I would be a little, you know, our preacher also used to tell me, he says, it's hard to bend a bubble. You know, and I said, hurts my feelings. But you know, you think about it. I need a helper. Can someone help me? Who'd like to help me today? All right, let's do two of you. Come on up here, Logan and David. Come on up here, William. I'll get you next time. All right. So I want you guys to do me a favor. All right. And you guys are probably pretty good at this. Whoa. I need you. All right. Let's pretend that the edge of this is a tightrope. All right? I need you to walk on the edge of this and not fall off. All right? So Logan, you get to start here. Dave, you come over to this side. All right? Let's see how you guys do. Now, if you're walking that edge, what do you have to really do, Logan? What do you got to do right now? Careful. Yeah, come on, Dave. Let's see how you do. You have to walk how? Pretend that you are 1,000 feet in the air. And then underneath you is sharks and fire and... Oh, Davey Dino! If you're walking that tightrope right by you, you've got to be accurate, don't you? Let's pretend, you know, here I am, right? Here's Logan, right? Whoa! You know? Some guy on a tightrope, boy, I tell you, is he like goofing around? Like, hey, guy, hey, Mom! Picking his nose, you know. No, man. He's focused, isn't he? He's got his stick, right? And he's going like this. Because he knows if he falls off, he's going to get eaten by a shark. Right? And boy, he's walking accurately. He's taking that foot. And is he just going like this? No. He's being what? Precise, isn't he? Thank you, boys. I appreciate your help. The Bible commands us to walk precisely. You deviate, you're inaccurate in your footing, you're going to fall. As believers, we have to give due diligence to every step we take. We get awful careless sometimes, don't we? Get a little lazy. You know, we sort of let down our guard. Instead of really being sober-minded about the way we live, about what we say, about how we act, you'll fall into the trap of the enemy. We do have an enemy. You say, we got an enemy? Is it Al-Qaeda? Is it ISIS? Sure. Spiritually, we got an enemy even greater than them. The Bible says that the devil is as a what? A roaring lion. Walks about seeking whom he may devour. If you're not careful, you'll fall right into his trap. It don't take long. Listen to young people. Listen to pastor. All it takes. You know, I used to go to the mission. I've been to the jail. You know, folks that struggle with drinking. It all started with one drink. One drink. We used to go to the Pacific Garden Mission downtown Chicago. And there's multiple times where I talked to some of those men. Men, you know, they look, you know, 100 years old, but they're only 30 or 40. And I said, well, what? And they would tell me their stories, and I would hear their stories. If you ever listen to, like, the radio story Unshackled, they would talk about how some of them are doctors and lawyers and wealthy and successful businessmen, and yet they fell into the trap. I'm thinking, you know, it's not a big deal. As Christians, we have to be diligent in our walk. The Bible says in James 1:14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The word drawn away means to lure prey from its hiding place. Now, I am trying to be a hunter and not being very successful. Brother DJ, he's been out there hunting for bear, hadn't you, Brother DJ? Have you gotten one yet? I figured if you did, you'd come with a bear suit, you know, you'd have you. So I figured you hadn't gotten one yet. But I went and got my hunting license. I don't know, it might, because I'm a young man, so I had to go to the class. You know, you got to go to the class and make sure you're not going to shoot nobody. You know, hunter safety. But I'll tell you this: when you're hunting, I've been reading up on it and learning, trying to learn, because I don't want to get to the place where, you know, if everything goes sideways, I can't provide for my family, right? So I'm learning. You know, if you're a good hunter, you know what? You set traps. You set lures. You learn how to what? Hunt. Look for that prey. The idea of this is that our lust is looking for any opportunity to trip us up. Our enemy is doing all that he can to lure us away from the closeness we should have with the Lord, to lure us into sin. The word entice means to catch by bait. If you want to bait a deer, now I know it's illegal, but if you wanted to bait a deer, would you use dead fish? What would you use? Apples, salt, right? You'd use a variety of things, right? I know we live in the Midwest, that guys put big old piles of apples out in their, you know, back 40 or whatever, you know, and then sit up there in their deer stand. Not real sporting. But you're not going to lure a deer using a dead fish, right? You go fishing. I'm not much of a fisherman. Maybe some of y'all are. What kind of bait you going to use? Depends, right? You know? What you going to use, Logan? Man, you might use a worm. What else? Right? You know, you have to use certain bait if you want to catch certain animals. And you know, Satan knows how to make... He knows what makes you tick. Some ways, he knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what will draw you away. He knows what is attractive to you. He studies you as his prey, and he baits his trap accordingly. While Satan tempts us externally, we already have that ability to sin within our hearts. When you sin, you're deceived. You didn't watch your step. You fell into the trap. And what is Paul saying here? He says, watch every step. Watch every step. We need to get a little more serious-minded about our walk as Christians. Those decisions you make that are seemingly, you know what I'm saying, not harmful. Every step you take as a Christian means something. In fact, can have eternal consequences. You realize that, right? Every action, every word you speak to your children. We were all children at one time. I'm sure there were things your parents said to you. They didn't really mean it, but Sometimes it would strike daggers and even cause great emotional harm. We've been there, haven't we? You speak a word in anger and realize, you know, as a parent, you're like, you know, I was just angry. I just lost my cool. But to that child, hurtful. We have to be careful how we walk. Think of it this way. I've never had a chance to fight in our nation's military, but I appreciate the men in here that have. You know, if you're going through a minefield, I guess I bet you you're walking where you walk, aren't you? Right? I mean, you are guarding each step. You're down on your hands and knees, and you got your K-bar or whatever you got out, and you're probing that dirt, aren't you? Man, okay, don't want to step there. All right, and you're marking it so the next guy behind you doesn't see it, and maybe you're moving little by little, and you're so careful where you walk. You know, sort of like when you're walking in my yard. You're careful where you walk. The boys yesterday, they had to do the cleanup. But you know what I'm saying. We've got to be careful where we walk. We have to know how deceitful our enemy is. We must walk not as fools, but as wise. You know, the world around us, they walk that way. They sort of stumble around, messing their lives up. We're not blind. We've been redeemed. We've been made alive. I hope you've been made alive tonight. I'm so glad that God has given me light. I'm a nobody. Without the Lord, I'm nobody. I'm just a wicked sinner saved by God's grace. And I thank God for that. And you know what? It's a shame when Christians walk as the world walks. You call yourself a Christian and you're not walking circumspectly. Shame on us. We grow. Sanctification is a progressive work. You know what? Day by day, we're growing closer to the Lord. We've got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Stay away from the traps that are laid for us. What does He say there? Don't walk as a fool. Walk wise. Number two is not only diligent, but it's discerning. Look at verse number 16. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We're to walk accurately, perfectly, but we need to walk with discernment. The word redeem means to buy up, to deliver from loss. It was used in the culture of purchasing a slave in order to set the slave free. Now, the word time here is not referring to clock time, right? You got a watch, right? It's not talking about seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months. It's not talking about that kind of time. It's talking about a measured allotment of time. Do you realize that in the grand scheme of things, your life is really a vapor? Isn't it amazing how quickly time goes? I'm sure Sister Kathy remembers when all her little toe-headed boys sat next to her in church. And she was having to keep a tight rein on all of them, right? And now look at them all. They're all married. Grown. It probably felt like this. Time. It scares me to death a little. I'm like, man, slow down. It doesn't slow down, does it? We have a measured amount of time, and what are we to do? We're to deliver the allotted time we've been given in this world from loss. The time that I have, I don't want it to be a waste. How many here hate wasting time? I hate it. It drives me nuts. Unless I'm the one wasting it. If you're wasting my time, then I'm irritated. But if I'm wasting it, yeah, you know, it's relaxation, whatever. We need to make every use or good use of every opportunity. The Lord's determined the boundaries of our life. You know, you'll not live 1 minute more or 1 minute less than what God has determined. Do you realize that? Think about that. Your life has a determinate amount of minutes. That's sobering, isn't it? It could be tonight. Kids, are you listening to Pastor? Right? Emma could say, well, I'm young. I got a long time. I'm going to grow old and I'm going to be 100 years old. Emma's what? Are you 6 or 7? 6. I got 94 more years to live, Emma could say. But you know what? That may not be the truth. Only the Lord knows, doesn't He, William? That's why I tell you, folks, listen to me, children. You grow up in a church like this, you hear the gospel, you hear the word of God, and you know, coming to church don't make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage makes you a car. Right? You never know. We have that measured amount of time. Job 14:5 says this, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee," Job says. "Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." 14:14 says, "If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come." Psalm 39:4 says, "Lord, make me to know mine end, the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." Our lives are a vapor. We're here just for a few days. We better make most of every opportunity. We better take time to pray. We better take time to worship. We better take time to share the gospel. We better take time to be holy, time to read the Bible, time to honor the Lord every minute of the day. You parents, I'm guilty of this. We get so caught up in work, so caught up in what we want to do, and you know what? We don't spend the time that we ought to with our children. You realize this? I've said this before. Let me repeat it because I think it bears repeating. I work for the phone company. I pastor this tiny church. Really ain't nobody going to remember that when I'm gone. No one's going to care that I work for the phone company, honestly. What I'm going to leave behind, Lord willing, is the four boys and the girl that God has given me. Whew. Now that's heritage. That's something worth leaving behind, isn't it? You know, you could get your 35-year watch from wherever, from Boeing or from Frontier or from the county or wherever you work, right? From the railroad. You could get your retirement. You could get your whatever you get because you worked there 35 years. And you know what? It's not going to matter. What's done for the Lord will matter. What you leave for Him, what you do for His kingdom is what will mean something. We must salvage the days we are given because the days are evil. We are ambassadors to this world. We have a window of time to reach people. We need to do it. We need to be sober-minded about this. We need to recognize the evil around us. Take the opportunities, seize the opportunities to serve the Lord. What kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? What kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? Well, he was a good man. He was a hard worker. He made a lot of money. It ain't going to mean nothing. You can't take it with you. I want to leave behind, you know what? He had a family that loved God. He loved God. I want to leave behind a legacy of people I've shared the gospel with and have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Because guess what? The 80, 90, however many years I have on this earth, even if I have just another day, what's going to matter is what has been done for Him. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to save our time from loss. You can lose your time or you can redeem it. Be careful with your entertainment. I grew up in a church where our preacher, he'd preach against having a TV. And the longer I live, the more I realize that's really not a bad idea. Not just your TV, but your internet. Now listen to me. Hey, you boys, you kids, listen to me. Hey, I like playing video games. How many like playing video games? Man, I like old video games. You know, I used to play Tiger Woods golf and I play the shoot 'em ups and I get it. But guess what? Cadence, there's no award in heaven for playing video games. Come on now, Logan. You hearing me? God's not going to be in heaven saying, "Boy, you did real good on Madden 16. We're going to give you a crown." It ain't going to matter. What? I'm not saying, boy, I tell you, I don't hardly play them anymore, but sometimes the boys be like, "Dad, come on, you play a game with us?" And I'll get over there, and they're getting to the place now. They just beat me, and now I'm telling them that. They're like, "Yeah, I know, we're better than you now." Right? They want to play Minecraft, and they want to whatever they do, and you know, and there's entertainment, there's fun, but you know what? You can't make that your life. What a waste. Come on. Whatever consumes you, whether it's sports. And I'm not against that. I watched the Cubbies almost get there again. But guess what? It can't be my life. Football can't be your life. We've got just a short amount of time. What we do for the Lord is what will matter. Let me give you this last point and I'm done. It's a definite walk. Look at verse 17. The Bible says, "Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You know what the word unwise means? You're going to think I'm being mean. And maybe I'll use a word here that you're not supposed to use in your home, so I apologize. But here's the definition. It means to be stupid. All right? Or ignorant. Now, kids, if your mom and dad don't want you saying the word stupid, pastor's not doing it to be mean or nasty or nothing. I'm just, it's what it means. All right? The Bible says, be not unwise. Don't be ignorant. Don't be stupid concerning what the will of the Lord is. It refers to a person who thinks himself wise when he actually knows nothing. You know what? Let me give you the literal translation. You ready? This is the Greek. Don't run around like an idiot. That's not really the Greek. But don't run through this world like an idiot. That's what Paul means. Really what he's saying. He says, don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Don't be ignorant. That's pretty strong stuff, isn't it? We're not careful. I was talking to Brother Tim. You know, you'll find churches, and I'm not against being busy. I think it's good to be busy as Christians. We need to serve God. But sometimes we can fall into the trap of business. We can fall into the trap of programs. Boy, we get full up with good things. And what do we end up doing? Boom, 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 boom. And man, we don't ever have time to do what we need to do. Be careful of that. God did not create us or save us to live like we do often. We run here and there with our calendars, our smartphones, our schedules, thinking we got to do all these things for ourselves or for others, and yet Satan has baited a trap for us. We get busy doing all the things we do so they won't have time to enjoy the Lord who saved us. We've got to learn to say no sometimes. Understand this, not everything is the will of God for you. You need to find the will of God and do it. People come to this church. We're not a business. We're not marketing. We're not out trying to collect people. It's not about money. I've told people, you come to this church, you find God's will, and you come here because God wants you to be here. And if it's not His will for you to be here, go. Find it. Our preacher growing up, that was his thing. They actually, for his 40th anniversary, they put a monument-type rock out in the middle of one of the parks of the church. A very large church. And it said, basically the saying was this, find God's will and do it. Find God's will and do it. Instead of running through life like a maniac, understand what the will of the Lord is. Do you know what the will of the Lord is? How do we know? Scripture. Amen. The Holy Spirit. The Word of God reveals us the will of God. If you're too busy to read the Word of God, you're just plain too busy. If you're too busy to meditate and to pray, you're just plain too busy. If it takes you throwing your smartphone out and getting you one of those dumb phones, then get you a dumb phone. If it makes shutting the internet off, then shut the internet off. Take the TV and throw it out. You know what? We need to be focused on what the will of the Lord is. Meditate on the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. Well, how foolish we are. Take time to teach your children the Word of God. People say, why don't you have a Sunday school? Well, there was two reasons. One of the main reasons was I was working, and I told the church, some of you were here, I said, I could teach you four times a week and struggle to really give you something good every time, or I could do it three times a week. I think I can handle that. And that's where. But there was a second reason that came about. I found where most churches, most parents, rather, were using Sunday school as a crutch. Your children ought to come to church knowing the Bible. It is your job to teach them. Now, we'll teach them. We'll help you. But it's your job to teach your children the Bible. Your children should learn the Bible and God, the things of God, from you. And I'm guilty of being a little bit lazy. But you're a pastor. I thought you had it all figured out. I do. I got what God showed me. But you know, sometimes I don't do what I'm supposed to do. I know what's right. And it's a struggle. There's days I get home from work, I'm bushed, I'm beat. You say, you don't do nothing, Pastor. You sit behind a desk. I know, but I just get exhausted dealing with people. And I get home and I'm like, Christian's like, do you want to have devotion? I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. And I fail sometimes. But you know what? Just because you fail doesn't mean you quit. Get up, daddies. If it works better in the morning, do it in the morning. If it works better in the afternoon, do it in the afternoon. And mamas, if dad's too tired or too busy, pick it up. Say, you know what? I'm going to help my husband. I'm going to be a blessing to my husband. I'm going to encourage him. I'm just going to go in and teach the children. Help the... What a blessing! Well, we ought to understand how foolish it is. We spend so much time and energy. We put our kids in the best schools we can find. We send them off to college, and yet they are ignorant of what is truly important. Well, the lack of biblical knowledge in the average church is astonishing. God has given us His Word. It's infallible. It's perfect. It's inspired. It's eternal. It's food for your soul. We need to be people of the book. We need to be a church of the book. It is a big deal. The ignorance of the Word of God explains a lot of the problems we have with sin. It explains the problems we have in our relationships. It explains why our church at times is devoid of power, why we're really not the light we should be. Because you know what? We fail to give the attention that is required to the Word of God and studying it and understanding it. Your Bible will keep you from being spiritually stupid. It will make you wise in the ways of the Lord. It will open your eyes to the schemes of the enemy. You can walk in wisdom. Make the Word of God your rudder. Make the Word of God your steering. Make the Word of God what drives you and what informs you and what guides your decisions. A couple questions to close tonight, all right? How is your walk with the Lord? What's the last time you read the Bible? What's the last time you meditated upon the Word of God? What's the last time you spent time memorizing the Word of God? Are you walking in wisdom? Are you walking in ignorance? What's the last time you really prayed? What's the last time you sat with your children and with your family and read them the Bible and taught them from the Bible and prayed with your family? What consumes your time? We're getting into the holidays. Holidays can be insane, can't they? Can I challenge you to do something? Take a little time and reflect on your life. A lot of people are scared to do that because they're scared to be alone with their own thoughts. But we need to say, God, I want to make sure I need to be right. Step back. Don't let the season get a hold of you. Put God first. Be willing to say no. If it's not the will of God, I ain't doing it. I know it's bad English, and I'm sorry. But that ought to be our heart. That ought to be our attitude. I want to honor God. I want to find God's will and do it. I want to make God's Word the rudder of my life. I want to set a straight course through this world. How's your walk with the Lord? Are you saved? I'm telling you. I don't want to ever make the assumption. I'm glad you're here tonight. But being here doesn't make you a Christian. Being baptized doesn't make you a Christian. You know what? Being a new creature, when you come to that place of repentance where you are willing to agree with God about who you are, that your sin is worthy of punishment. Your sin is worthy of hell. A lot of people don't lie. I'm a good person. I'm not. Compared to God, I'm a wicked sinner. And you know what? Over and over again, I've disobeyed Him. And he was just in his punishment. And it wasn't until I came to that place and I turned to him and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save my soul. The moment he saved me, what a day that was. And what a blessing it is to be born again. Are you born again? I'm not saying, are you a church member? Do you give money to a church? Do you help do good things? None of that means anything to God when it comes to salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We'll close in prayer. I want to challenge you tonight. Are you walking in wisdom? Or you've been a bit foolish in your walk? What's consuming you? What's got you time? What's got your focus? If it ain't the Lord, if it ain't the things of the Lord, if it isn't the will of God, we need to get right. Say, God, I want to get lined up with you. Get right with you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to come together tonight. Come together to be challenged. I don't see any reason to go to church to be entertained. I come here because, Father, we need your help. We need to grow. And we know that being a Christian is not, you're not, certainly not perfect. Far from it. Father, it's a blessing to learn from you, to learn from your word, and to grow closer to you and to your son, to be more like Jesus every day. And it's a struggle, and it's a journey. I thank you, Lord, that we've been reminded, Father, of how foolish we can be in our walk, how lazy we can be in our walk, not careful, not walking circumspectly. Lord, letting a lot of foolish things take over our time and attention. Lord, help us to realize, help us to number our days, as your word says, so we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I pray for our families, Lord. If there's anything that we need, and we need your help amongst our parents and our children, bless our fathers, lift them up, Father, strengthen them, and help them to be the leaders and the men of God that you want them to be in their homes. Be with our mothers and our wives. Lord, just give them grace, and Lord, bless them as they spend time with the children and as they teach them and as they learn. And Lord, even those here that maybe even are grandparents, bless them, Father, and use them to minister to their grandchildren and their children. And Lord, I pray that if there's anything that we let grab our attention that's not your will, give us the courage to be able to repent, set it aside, and to follow after you. We love you, Father. We thank you for the time again tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, what a blessing to be together tonight. I hope you'll come back Wednesday night for Thanksgiving testimony service. I'm looking forward to it. So, anything before we leave?